Yes. I said state books, but not the New York.
Okay.
What?
Okay. Do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear it fine.
Yeah.
Great. Terrific. Good. Okay, terrific. Let's begin. Okay. We have the Daf Makoros here. Okay. So this week's Parsha is Parsha's Emor. Okay. And part of Parsha's Emor is the Mekalel. Okay. That's the end of the Parsha. And you can see basically the gist of the story is Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. So a son of a Jewish man, Jewish woman, who ben Isha Yitzmi, and he was also, his father was a Mitzri, Pesach ben Yisrael. Vayinotsu ben Achna. There was a fight between the daughter of the Jewish lady and another Jewish man. And what happens usually when there's a fight, it usually leads to something which is not good. And Vayikov ben Ish Yisraelis Hashem, and the Ish Yisraelis went out and cursed out God. Vayikalel v'yavios al Moshe v'shem imo shlomis bas divrli matei don. A lot of questions you can ask here. I'm going to go ahead and ask so first of all, one of the questions which actually Rashi is going to point out is why is it relevant to his mother was? But I think a more basic question you have to ask is, you know, when you teach Chumash, so Bracious is a lot of fun. Shmos is okay until after Parshas Yisro. And after Parshas Yisro and Sefer Vayikra, also gets very challenging. Why? Because you know that there are no stories at the second half of Sefer Shmos and Parshas Sefer Vayikra, and you know we have to wait till Parshas Baloscha for things to start get interesting again. And so Sefer Vayikra really has two stories. One story is about the death of Nadav Avihu, which is very relevant to the Parsha it's in. And all of a sudden, stuck in here is this story of Ben Ishi Yisraelis, which, by the way, might have happened somewhere in Sefer Shmos, we really, you know, which is possible. And all of a sudden, it's stuck in here in Sefer Yikra for whatever crazy reason. I shouldn't say crazy, for whatever reason. And the question is why and what is the relevance? Now, obviously, when you hear a story sort of brings out a point in a very, very strong and extreme way. Okay, so we have to understand what is it doing here? Why was it put here at the end of Parshas Emor? By the way, there are other places it could have been put. You want to talk about the power of speech, you can have Tazria Mitzora. What is it doing really over here? In why is it here in this week's Parshas Emor? That's the basic question which I would like to ask. So, obviously, in order to answer such a question, what you have to ask is, well, it must be relevant on some level to what's before it, and maybe to what's after it. So, therefore, we have to go ahead and we have to ask what's before and what's afterwards. So, a second question Rashi asks, though, is what does it mean by Yetze? Where they went out? Where did he go out from? He says, you know, Vayetze Yaakov v'Eshava, Vayetze ben Ishi Yisraelis. The question is, where did he go out from? So it says, so if you look, Rashi asks that question, and Rashi says, Vayetze ben Ishi Yisraelis, where did he go out from? So he says, Rashi says, the first shot in Rashi is that he went out from Me'olam Yatzi, lost almost Olam Haba. Rav Rachya Omer, mi parsha shalemal yotza. He went out of the parsha above it, before it. Ligleg v'yomar, and he said, he made fun, and he says, v'yom hashav v'sherchenu. He says, you're going to go ahead, and you're going to set up the bread on lechem apanim, the parsha before is on lechem apanim yom hashavis, and take it off a week later, and give it to God. He says, derech hamel lechol pas cham v'chol yom. The way of a king is to give fresh bread every day. Oshema pasonenes shaltisha yomim, and you're going to give cold bread after 9 days? Vimia. Okay, so that's one idea which will come back. So obviously Rashi says, you want to know why this is here, there's a connection. And what's the connection? The connection is that he was making fun of the lechem upon him. Okay? Now, we don't know who this fellow is. He was making fun of lechem upon him. All right? But the fact of the matter is, it sounds like that he wasn't the most important person, very important. And so he's making fun of lechem upon him. Why is that really relevant to the story? Well, what's relevant to the story is the fact that if someone curses out God, you got to kill him. But why is it relevant that he's making fun of lechem upon him? So we have to understand that, Rashi. And then he goes on, Masnisa Amra, he based Binu Shiyot, Moshe Yotzim Mechuyav. He came out of the Bezdin of Moshe, obligated. Why? Because he was looking for a place to live. Valita Allah Besoch Machane Don. He came to go ahead and to pitch his tent in Machane Don. Amrulo, he said, Mati Vach Lakan. They said to him, like, what are you belonging here? He says, Amrulam, they done on here. Mother's from Don. I belong in Don. So he says, no, Amrulah, I said, Isha Diglo Bosos Vesavosam Ksiv. So he says, just 1 second, everybody, excuse me a second. Just 1 second.
I've got Svi.
Did I not send it to the list? I thought I did.
I'm taking care of it.
Fine, great. Okay, thank you. Okay. So what happened was he went ahead and he says he wanted to live in Machane Don. You don't come from Don. Your father's not from Don. Your father's a Mitzri. They went to Bezdin, and he lost the din. He came out of the Bezdin, Mechuyav, Amad Begoda. And that, I guess, was the argument that he had. And because of that, he lost, he cursed out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he tells us who his mother was, Shlomitz Bas Dibla Lemata Don. This caused the whole thing. So like these two Rashis are giving us a message about the whole parsha Makal, which is very important. He says,
Is there a way to repost the link? I just now got in. I've been trying since 9 o'clock, and other people also said they haven't got. Something was wrong with the original link.
I've got it. Sweep, please mute and go on to private chat.
Okay, fine. Okay, so fine. So okay. So let's
go
on.
Okay,
so I'll quickly review what I said. Okay, so basically, let me just. So basically, the question is. Let me say very quickly. The question is. I apologize. The question is. Cause a little confusion. The question is very quickly. What is the parsha of Makalel? What is the Parsha Makalel doing in Parshas Emor? After all, the Parsha of Makalel, there's no stories in Parshas Emor, right? No stories. There's one about another Aviyu dying, which very much fits into the Parsha. And then you obviously have the Parsha Makalel, which seems to be so irrelevant, so not connected to what's before him. Okay? So as I said, if you want to know why something is in a certain parsha, you have to ask what happened beforehand, what happened afterwards. And Rashi explains, so how did the Makalel come about? So Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat was that he made fun. What happened was, is he went ahead and he made fun of the, of the lechem upon him, which seems very difficult and very challenging, because he made fun of lechem upon him. So why is that really important to me, that one person made fun of lechem upon him? Right? If I was to worry about every single person that made fun of something that happens in the shul or something happens where I teach, I'd probably be in a mental home, right? Yeah, you can't worry about these things. This person, was he an important person? Why is that relevant to us? Why is that relevant? That he made fun of the lechem upon him. That's question number one. Question number two, the second shot is that what happened was, and we'll explain this also, how it fits into the parsha. What happened is that he wanted to live with Machane Don because Machane Don was where his mother came from. And what happened was he went ahead and he went to Bezdin, and Bezdin Paskin, no, your father is a Mitzri. You can't live in Machane Don. So the question obviously is, fine. So you can't live a machan adam. So, and that's why it tells us who his mother was. Fine. So if you look at source number three, the Divrei David says that, well, we'll come back to the Divrei David in a few minutes, but Divrei David basically says that every single person, okay, he says, what does the word vayetze mean? Me'olam yotza. That every person is connected to God. Remember this? In the Olam Elyon. And when you sin, you go out from there. Realize every single person is connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Olam Elyon. And when you sin, you leave that place. And that's why it says, Vayetze, what does Me'olam mean? Olam does mean Olam Elyon. You lost your connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll sort of come back to that in a second. Now, so it's fascinating that what happened, he cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the Lechem upon him. But let's understand what the Lechem upon him really was. And there's a Gemara Maseches, Menachas Maseches, and Maseches Chagiga, Gemara Maseches Yuma, that talks about the greatness of the Lechem upon him. And by the Shulchan is called the Shulchan HaTahar, which the Gemara seems to says implies that the Shulchan can become Tameh. So the question is, how can the Shulchan become Tameh if the Shulchan, the Lechem upon him, is always stationary? So the Gemara says a fascinating thing. The Gemara says that when the Olei Regel would come to the Beis HaMikdash, Melamed Shemachbiyin Oto Olei Regel, they would pick up the Lechem upon him, the Shulchan Amin, Umar Lechem upon him. And they would show them the Lechem upon him, V'omer Lem, and they'd say, Ru'uchi Baschem Ne'amakam. Look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Machi Baschem, what is the love? Kedem Shua ben Levi, Shua ben Levi, Nes Gadol Nas Lechem upon him, Siluko Kisiduro. It was just as hot the week after it was finished as opposed to the day was put down. And that's how they show the love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Am Yisrael. And the Ritva actually asked the question of Sechus Yuma. The Ritva says, I don't really understand, he says, Ritva says. Ritva says that how in the world did they show all the people that the Lechem upon him was still hot, steaming hot, on the second Shabbos, who came for Alil Regel? How would they see that? How do you see something's hot? So the key is steaming hot. The Ritva says it's obvious shahayacham b'shasiluk lekicha as it was there. And he says it was so cham there must have been steam coming out of it. It would look a week later, they would see the steam coming out of it. All right? And so a nes. All right? And that's the only way they could see the nes. So, you know, it's fascinating that the lechem upon him is there to show how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. It's fascinating. That's the point of it. Look, Rabbeinu Bachaya, and right before Rabbeinu Bachaya, so right before the sugya lechem upon him, the shulchan, so the Torah tells us about the menorah, right, which is mentioned many times. And you could ask, actually, it's in Parshas Baloscha, it's here so many times. So why is it mentioned here again? Because you see, you have to understand, let me explain. What is Sefer Vayikra about? Sefer Vayikra is about Kedusha. And to show that the Jews have Kedusha, and Nechas is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Lechem upon him shows us that the Kedusha we have, because of that, we have a lot of love before our Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you look at Rabbeinu Bachaya on Parshas Tzav, he says, so Rabbeinu Bachaya says, in Parshas Tzav, the two parts to it, he says, Rishon Medrash, he says, Re'isun Medrash Tanchuma, B'tchila Seder, Vata Tetzava, Kev, Eshem Adligas Menorah, every Chatz Yerushalayim was Mishtameshes La'ora. What does that mean? What it means is that every Chatz Yerushalayim saw the menorah. Yes, we had the or, but they realized, wow, they were inspired and influenced. Wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really connects to us. And therefore, it affected every Chatz Yerushalayim. And that's why he says, from the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he planted all sorts of, trees, that golden trees. The Beis HaMikdash was a place that showed how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And he says, he mentions the Lechem upon him. The heat was kept there for 6-8 days. And he says, and he quotes the Pasuk in Shmuel, that when David HaMelech ran away, and he came to Achimelech, and he says at that point, He wanted to eat. All they could give him was the lechem cham. What was the lechem cham? The lechem from the shulchan, because that was lechem cham. He says that's his idea. And then if you look at the next part of Ben Avachaya, he mentions all the miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the miracles was that when they went ahead and rekotzer the Omer on the Pesach, which is also mentioned in Parshas Omer, Parshas Omer, there was never a psul. There were so many ways in this parsha we see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, how the Jews connect, how it brings the Jews up. All right, and then by the way, about the menorah, it's obvious. And everyone knows that. Why? Because it says in this week's parsha, Perek of Dalet, about the menorah. Michutz la parocha, sa'edis bolam moed, yaroch oto aro me'erev ha'baruch ne'ashem, tomid chukas lam dor seichem. So he says, why is it saying Michutz la parocha sa'edus? He says, because the Aron was called Edus. And Rabbeinu and Chazal say, you know why Edus? Because the Ner Marabi was Edus l'chol bali olam, that the Shechina is Shorah b'Yisrael. Why? Because the Ner Marabi has as much oil as the rest of the candles, and still they would begin lighting the menorah with the Ner Marabi, and they finish off, you know, they finish off at nighttime with that. So we see that the Ner Marabi always lasted longer, at least for many, many years, and that was a siman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. So it's fascinating, he says, it's fascinating that in this parsha, what do you have in this parsha? You have in this parsha so many things that sort of bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who realize how special it is. And one of those things that we go ahead and we realize how special it is, how special it is. One of these things, realize how special it is. You have to understand that not only is, he says, is what pushed him to Megadeth, Mecharef, Megadeth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is sort of fascinating. Now, so the question is, how did it happen? So the Sforno goes ahead and he points out that because he was in East Mitzri, so he was Meis Panov to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a regular Jew would not act such a way. Okay, you can. That's the Sforno. I'm not here to explain the Sforno. What I want to do is I want to quote for you a Shadal from Shmuel David Luzzatto. I have to tell you, I think this is the first time. Actually, I quoted in my shir on Kabbalah Shabbos. First time I'm quoting it, but I saw Reb Midan actually quoted the Shadal. And because the truth is, I'm really not a bucking in Shadal. I just happened to see Reb Midan quoted it. Sometimes I look. But the Shadal says like this. Say, he says, "Vayetze." What's the idea of Yetze Minister Elis? All right. So he asks the same questions. That since we do all these mitzvot, Kvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lechem Apanim, the Menorah, he says, Sayim Ba'onesh of the Makalel, who went against everything this week's Parsha. Says, so the question is, how come it's not mentioned in the Torah at all, anything about being Mecharef and God of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And when it says Elohim lo sekalel, that's referring to a Dayan. The answer is, he says, it's a crazy idea. He says, because you should never, there would never be a thing for a second that a Jewish person would go ahead and be Mekalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Torah did not warn about that. All right? He says, why? He says, and it was an ish mitzvah did this, first thing to the Sforno. And after it happened, the Torah to give a warning. So I want to extend it a little. And I want to say like this. In other words, this is a crazy idea. And the Sforno implies, Tzadal implies, a person who cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I say is that, and it happened after all the things that show how well we're connected. You have a parent that does so much for the kid, and all the kid can do is curse out his parents. It's after the parsha where we discuss all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and shows how close we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that in itself is what caused, was the impetus, as the first shot in Rashi says, to go ahead and to curse out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I see I have Rashi here again. Curse out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, what does that teach us? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we can do so much for somebody to inspire him, to train him or her, whatever it is. The bottom line is, it's really up to the person himself. It's really up to the person himself. Okay, what does that mean? In other words, we have the point of view. And that same thing that could be there to inspire us and help us grow can take us in another direction. In other words, a person wants to grow. And, you know, when we speak about our children, our students, people we know are trying to help. There's so much you can do, but if they don't want, it's not going to happen. And this Beni Shmitzri did not want. And that's why that same thing, and that's why it happens after all these things in Parshas Emor. After the Moadim, that are there to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Moadim symbolize we go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe it's not here so much. And the Omer. And we talk about Shabbos, Mikra Kodesh, the Menorah. We talk about the Lechem upon him. And in the end, it didn't happen. Because if a person doesn't have that point of view, it's not going to work. And that's why what the message of the parsha is telling us, if you want, you have to go have the right point of view. Now, there's a machlokes from the Rambam to Kuzari, which I don't want to get into at length here. Not that I could get into at length anyways. About the question is, can a person really prove that God exists? The Rambam says it's possible to prove that God exists. The Kuzari says a person needs a small leap of faith, which according to the Kuzari, what's saying is you have to have the right point of view. If a person doesn't want to have the right point of view, they're not going to see it. Sometimes you wonder how people live in this country. And by the way, I'm not talking about the very religious. I'm talking about the people who maybe are not so religious and they see miracles happening. They know our existence is on miracles. And just look what happened here, you know, with the corona. Okay, unfortunately, we suffered a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, yachasit, we did better than almost any country. So you want to tell me you have this reason and that reason? Yes, we have all these reasons. But there's definitely God involved. And in order for a person to really recognize that he has the right point of view, because you can bang a person out of a hammer, he's not going to see it, just like this Ishmitzri. And that's the message of the parsha. And I have to tell you that I think that's the pshat. So why that happened? That's the second pshat in Rashi. So remember, it's the second pshat in Rashi and the Divrei David, which you only have to go to. What's the Divrei David? You don't have to go back there. It's fine. He says that he lost that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's by Yetze. Me'elamo Yotza. But why he lose that connection? Going back to Rashi, at the second page, because Rashi says, what happened? He also lost it in Torah. When he found out that he did not belong, all of a sudden he lost that connection. And that's what caused him to go ahead and take that thing which is supposed to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cause him to go against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really, this parsha is giving some mandate number one. To go ahead, that number one, you have to go ahead and you have to have the right point of view. And number two, you have to go ahead and if you want people to have the right point of view, you have to go ahead and keep them connected. So Vayetze Ben Yisrael said to me, I know what Vayetze means. As the Divrei David says, Vayetze means he lost his connection. He left Klal Yisrael. When he left Klal Yisrael, he lost that connection. And then he didn't have the right point of view. It's so important that you go ahead and you connect people. And you know, it's sort of like we're juggling things. On one hand, we want people to be on the straight and narrow, do what's right, follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, defratu bechlal. But on the other hand, we have to keep connected. Because you don't keep them connected. So whatever is there to inspire them is not going to work. Because then with the Yetzer, they won't be inspired, as we see with the Makalo. Now, I think just understand that, and so then the Ein Makdover asks the question. So why do we have after this the idea of Yaakov? ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam. So what it's saying is that, you know, when a person is makalo somebody, Hashem, a person makalo Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's horrible. No matter who does it. He says, how do we know? Because every person that's killed, it's a terrible thing. Ish kiyaka kol nefesh adam. So every person is special, and therefore every person in Bacalo can do a is a terrible thing. And therefore you have to understand that every person, we want them to see the right point of view, and therefore every single person, we have to make sure they stay connected, they can see the right point of view. And I just want to mention, at the beginning of the year I said, if you want to understand why something is mentioned in a certain place, it's important to go ahead and look what's before, and we saw what's before. Before was Lechem Avanim, it's supposed to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the menorah, and so many things in the Parsha. What's afterwards? Afterwards is Shemitah. So, you know, first let's look at the Pesukim. The Chisom Rumanochal Vashon HaShviyas Heinlo Nizran HaSavetz Fuhasenu The Tzivises Virchasi Lechem Vashon HaShishis Vasid V'asas HaTvua L'Shlosh HaShonim Uzratu Vashon HaShmidis V'chaltim V'natvua Yashan Ad HaShon HaShiyas Adbot V'asitochlu Yashan. It's amazing. Speak to a farmer that keeps Shvius. He will tell you the stories. Shvius is about seeing our Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. Too many times we rely, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Shvius is to rely that our Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. He's there for us. Do some people see it? Absolutely not. I will tell you, I remember, I'm not sure how many Shmitas it was ago. Was it the last Shmita, the Shmita before? Or Hashem, I've been here a nice amount of time. I remember going to the Shuk in Beit Shemesh during the year of Shemitah, I think, and or the year after Shemitah, I forgot what it was, and one of the vendors made a comment to me. You know why prices are so expensive, he says? Because, he says to me, the Jews didn't keep Shemitah. He said, that's what he said to me. Without getting into Rabbanim, this vendor said this to me. Okay, and, you know, he wasn't wearing a kippah shchorah. So Shemitah is there for us to see, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there for us. And you know, the truth is that Shemitah is a very important lesson because for so many of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been there at certain times. But the message of the Mekalel is that unless you want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it's stuck right here. You want the whole Sefer to help, you want to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have the right point of view. That is the message. And so I would say the two most important messages that we can learn from this week's Parsha, from the Mekalel, I should say, is number one, have the right point of view in terms of yourself. You know, now living in Kufa, period, where we worry not only about ourselves, we also worry about others. As someone pointed out to me, you know, the whole affair that we're closing down markets and because we're worried about a certain population. If you want to worry about other people, you have to make sure that they go ahead and they stay connected. That's the most important thing. I'll leave you with a story. See, even though my parents were very loyal American citizens and they had a lot of hakaras hatov to America, and they would actually hang the flag on July 4th. But when I was older, to my chagrin, we didn't have Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. When I was younger, we had Thanksgiving dinner. So I once asked my mother, how come we stopped having Thanksgiving dinner? She said, listen, he said to me, we don't really need Thanksgiving dinner. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a halacha. But you know, Abba had a cousin, a first cousin. His name actually, he's not alive anymore. His name was Fenton. And he was, if you figure out the name, his name used to be Feinstein. My father was a cousin. My grandmother was a cousin of Moshe Feinstein. He was probably also a cousin to Moshe Feinstein or a son of a cousin. And, you know, after the war, he escaped, but he went very far from Judaism. And he says, you know, we could never invite him for a meal on Shabbos. He would never stay over because he would drive to us on Shabbos. As a matter of fact, you should know that my bar mitzvah invitation, so I had a suda on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and I had a Shabbos bar mitzvah on Parshas Noach. My father did not put into the English Rite invitation the Shabbos bar mitzvah. because he was afraid the Fentons would drive to Shul on Shabbos to us. What happened then? No guests came to my Shabbos bar mitzvah. It's fine. I got over it, Baruch Hashem. But he says, the only time, and they wouldn't come for a Hanukkah meal. They work on Hanukkah. The only time we could invite them for a meal, they would come is Thanksgiving. So we used to always have Thanksgiving dinner. But once they got older, actually, I think what happened is Mrs. Fenton passed away. He was in a nursing home already. So we stopped having. She says, because that's the reason why we had it. Okay, so I'm not here to discuss whether you should have given dinner in America or not. If you've given dinner, it's certainly fine. The point I'm trying to say is that it's so important to keep people connected. Because if you keep them connected, they could have, they might have, hopefully all the right point of view. The message for us, the right point of view. And also the message is to always try to keep people connected on some level. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Mirtz Hashem, I hope to get back on tomorrow to give a Dvar Torah in Hebrew, of course, before Shabbos at some point. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, wonderful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom to everybody.